Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a licensed 501c3 nonprofit. All rights reserved. No use of our content is allowed by law without our permission. Our goal is to bring you the very best Catholic content possible. Going forward, we will continue to bring you the best apologists, educational programming, devotionals, and live charitable and social outreach and activism. However, we cannot continue to bring this great programming without your help. All of our members are volunteering their time and efforts, but the hosting, programs, licensing, and subscriptions needed to keep this going costs money. Right now, our credit card platform is not yet operational, but you can still send your tax-deductible gift to the Four Persons Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. That donation address again is the Four Persons Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. If you are interested in advertising on our shows or have any questions or comments of any kind, email us at email@thefourpersons.com or call us at 240-728-6531. And now, welcome to Catholicism Rocks, brought to you by our friends at CatholicismRocks.com. This is our weekly night show dedicated to the premise that there is nothing better than being a Catholic.
Music's supposed to end, or I'm just supposed to talk over it. So, well, I'll just talk over it. How's that? So, my name is Jack Gist. I'm the Culture and Society Director at Catholicism Rocks, and we're starting to do a weekly show on the Four Persons. It'll be on Wednesdays, I think, as we're going forward, Wednesdays at the same time. So be sure to tune in, and we're going to have we'll have guests that we invite. We'll take phone calls and things like that. And today, Catholicism Rocks sort of really is, we're into the tradition, which without tradition, you have no church. And that seems to be, everything's against tradition these days. And I think one of those reasons why is sort of like Satan is at play here. And as Catholics, we know Satan is real. It's an actual thing. It's not some made-up fantasy that concocted by people to scare little children or anything like that. Many of you have come across satanic forces in your lives, and you know them when you see them. But Satan these days is all over the place, it would seem like, sort of like almost winning the battle in sort of the secular world. In many ways, it seems like people kind of don't think he exists, but kind of don't really care one way or another if there's a God or Satan, anything else. They just kind of do what they're going to do. But today I'm going to take a phone call. It looks like I've got something coming in from area code 666, and I'm going to go ahead and see who this is. Hello? Is there anybody on the other line?
Yes. Greetings, mortal.
Greetings, mortal, really. Who am I speaking? Who am I speaking to?
Don't you know I work best in secret?
Well, that's if you work best in secret, so you're not going to tell me your name.
I am the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, you're the Prince of Darkness. Well, forgive me if I'm a little bit skeptical, because if you're the Prince of Darkness, you're also the Prince of Lies. Isn't that correct?
Of course. Deception has always been one of my best tools.
Well, if deception is one of your best things, how do I know you are who you say you are, and this isn't just some sort of a prank?
I guess you'll have to trust me, won't you?
So now you're asking me right off the bat, a Catholic, I'm a pretty, dyed-in-the-wool Catholic here, you're asking me to trust that you're Satan. Well, I'm not really going to play along with that, but I will ask you some questions. So,
well,
like
you
said...
Let me ask you a question.
Well, I don't know if I want to do
Why is it that so many are willing to believe that it's God when it's actually me?
Oh, you're now...
Influencing them.
So you're saying, let me see if I can get this right. But before I would go further, let me get this down so I can at least have it said. Why of all places would you who have done a pretty fabulous job of the best lie you ever told, assuming that it's really you, I'm still pretty skeptical on that, just because I'm Catholic doesn't mean I'm going to fall for anything, right? But assuming that it's you, we'll assume that for the sake of the conversation. Why would you choose a radio show that's the Catholicism Rocks, which is a Catholic outlet that embraces tradition, on a radio show on the Four Persons Inc.? Why would you choose, after fooling so many people into thinking that you don't even exist, that was your best lie of all, as many people have said that before, why would you choose to make yourself known here of all places?
Well, obviously, my lie is still working because you don't believe me. There I am, and you still don't believe that I exist.
Oh, no, I believe Satan exists. I don't necessarily believe that you are Satan, but go ahead and ask me your question. But why here? Why would you choose to come out here? Because the best lie that you ever told was that you don't exist, because that made everybody fall for a lot of people fall for your game. But so why would you want to blow that by coming on a show, Catholicism Rocks radio show, to reveal yourself?
Because you are spoiling my game. You are blowing my cover. I want people to believe that Catholicism is dark, that Catholicism only is morose and wants you to suffer, that Catholics are only supposed to be walking around looking at their feet. You are presenting Catholicism as something joyful. You are presenting Catholicism as something that somebody would want. I can't allow you to do that. I must stop this.
Oh, you're out. Well, you are the enemy of God and the Catholic Church, so I can see why you would want to stop Catholicism from hanging on. And some people would say that... you might even think that you're doing a pretty good job of that, but don't you of course you're familiar with the Bible, correct? Because you must be familiar with the Bible. So if you are familiar with the Bible, that do you not believe in the prophecies in the Bible, that you're kind of doomed to get whipped? Do you understand? And and I wonder how that feels to know you're going to be defeated by a woman, Mary, the mother of God.
Don't mention that woman.
Why, don't mention Mary, the mother of God? Well, she's...
Do not mention that woman.
Why, are you a little bit disturbed that she's going to be the one that defeats you? I suppose that would, being you, Mr. Macho Satan, that would probably bother you a little bit, wouldn't it, getting beat up by a woman like that?
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, what do you want to talk about, Mr. Satan?
You asked me if I know the Bible. How many churches are there in the world? I know the Bible. I know the Bible better than the Christians know the Bible, and I know how to use it against them. But I think there's so many believers, and so many that all say they know the Bible. Sola Scriptura was one of my best weapons.
There's only one church, of course. There's only one true church, and that they're the ones that know the Bible. Are you saying that you know the Bible better than the Catholic Church does? The tradition of the Catholic Church, the magisterium? I mean, really? Do you expect us to believe that?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I know the Bible better than most Christians do. Most Christians cannot see the truth of the Catholic Church because I blinded them.
Oh, so you're bragging that you're winning the battle. But I'm going to go back to the first question, to a previous question. If you know the Bible so well, you know that you will be defeated in the end, correct?
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, you served to pick and choose what questions you want to answer. But let's just stick with that point. I'm going to try to drive that point home. Let me see if I've got your argument correct here. So you're saying that you know the Bible better than most Christians, and you've managed to blind most of the Bible. But then I come back and I say, well, if you know the Bible so well, you know you lose in the end. And you say, what do you say? I don't want to talk about that. Well, I think that makes you the loser, not us, right?
What are your questions for me tonight?
Well, let's try something else then. If you are who you say you are, which I have to still be skeptical of that, because I just still can't get over this sort of the idea that the Prince of Lies, who has managed to, I will grant you this, you've managed to fool a good portion of the population that either you don't exist, or that you exist, or you sort of mess up the reading of the Bible so they've gone askew in any number of ways, in any sort of some crazy ways. But it still doesn't explain to me why you would blow your cover on Catholicism Rocks, which is a home of the tradition of the church, when you know you're not going to be able to defeat us. So why here, why now, and do you just think that you have enough power here, that you've won enough of we're at a tipping point in the world, and that you're just about to tip it over and win?
First, it is you that are blowing my cover, not me. You are blowing my cover with this show, with this website, with your arguments. You are blowing my cover.
Oh, so you're just...
Second, if you think I cannot defeat you, think again. Many Christians have been brought down by me because they believed they could not be brought down. They believed they were beyond temptation. They believed that I could not reach them.
Well, you cannot reach them, but that's not up to the people. That's up to the grace of God. Those who God protects, you cannot reach them. And I think that you know that as well. But let's try another take here. Now, if you are who you say you are, do you get worried sometimes that I'm sure you're familiar with the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche and his rather infamous saying, God is dead and we have killed him. Are you familiar with that text?
I am. What do you think wrote it?
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Okay, with that said, remember Nietzsche, he didn't mean that literally. Of course, he meant that men had outgrown the idea of God. That's why God was dead, and God is dead, and we have killed him, and how are we going to live with this? He goes on and say this horrible deed. Now that I'm playing along with you a little bit, which is dangerous, I understand that, but I hope that God is watching over me as I even talk to you at all. But do you ever wonder that if so, the world, the moral fabric of Western civilization is decaying pretty rapidly, and you're probably just all happy about that. But don't you sense even a danger in that as well? Don't you think maybe somebody's going to come along and say, Satan is dead and we have killed him because they've outgrown even you?
And you say you know the Bible. The Bible describes the Nazarene as he who is, and the Bible describes me as he who is not. And as long as I can make you believe that the Nazarene does not exist, and that I also do not exist, then you are mine, and you are coming to be with me.
Okay, so, but I think by your own admission, even there, you seem to have sort of these circular arguments. But I guess that's befitting that the Prince of Lies, that would befit the Prince of Lies to try circular arguments. But earlier you said that you came on Catholicism Rocks because we're getting in your way. We're blowing your cover because we do believe in the Nazarene. We do believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, our Savior. We don't just believe that in the sense that you believe the sun is going to come out. We believe that through an act of faith, which is with our whole heart and our whole mind. It is what makes us what we are. And so you're not going to be able to, we do our best. That is our job in this world as mere mortals, is to spread the gospel to the best of our ability. Spread the gospel according to the traditions of the Catholic Church, the magisterium of the Catholic Church. And so the battle is ongoing, but again, I have to come back to the fact, and that you do have to realize this because you've admitted it already, that you know you lose. So what makes you keep going forward? What is it, just a pure hatred? And maybe better than, maybe the guests would like to know this. This is a question that I've often wondered myself. It's fairly straight, but I want to hear your version of it. What did you do exactly to get thrown out of heaven? And if you had it to do over again, would you do it again?
Have you read your Bible?
Well, of course.
It tells you. Let me walk through it with you. A great sign appeared in heaven. God showed us this sign. The woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars upon her head. And she would give birth to the man-child who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. God showed us this sign, and we were filled with fury, and war broke out in heaven, me and my angels against Michael and his angels, and we prevailed not.
Yes, I'm having a little trouble understanding you from the depths of hell where you must be speaking from, but I can't get past this question. So you keep referring to the Bible, and that it seems like that would be the last book that you would want to refer to because it spells out your own defeat in no uncertain terms. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's not a matter of interpretation or anything like that. You lose in the end. So why would you keep referring to the Bible as something that you can manipulate to your own advantage? It will end you. That will be the thing that ends you once and for all.
Can you really say I'm losing? 60 million of your babies have been slaughtered in abortion in your country. Can you really say I'm losing? Perversion is taking over your schools. Pedophiles are teaching their children in the school system. Can you really say I'm losing?
Well, all
look at your government. Look at your government. Look at your president. Look at the corruption. Look at the evil.
Well, I'll entertain that because I think that you are behind almost all of that. And you call it a victory, but it just is still leading to your end. Yes, our government is corrupt. We have a president that calls himself a Catholic and at the same time is pro-abortion, among other things. We had a Speaker of the House that was the same way. They're contradiction in terms, just like you are. Even in this conversation right here, you tend to just keep contradicting yourself. The Catholic Church, as you well know, is the church of faith and reason. It's not just faith. We employ reason because God, the logos is the underlying principle. It's reasonable. That's how we, the image of God.
Reason. You speak of reason? I was the most glorious angel in heaven. And God told me I would have to bow down to a mortal, to a woman. You speak of reason? This is reason? That my magnificence would bow down to a mortal?
Oh, well, Well, so it was your ego, and we see a lot of this on this planet too. I guess this could be, you could say this is your fault too, to a large extent, is the human ego has gotten so large, and this has been going on for centuries if you know it. So you have, it seems to be like you've made some inroads there, but as you know this as well, Revelation and prophecy and everything else tells us that it's going to get pretty bad before it gets better. So yeah, you're making some inroads. We have our government's corrupt. We have people sexualizing our children, our innocent children. Abortion is out of control. It's murdering thousands of babies. So it can seem pretty dark, and you can cast a dark shadow. But that still doesn't help your argument. You know that you lose as long as any of us, as long as the Catholics keep their faith, as long as a few of us keep the true faith, you lose. So it's sort of a zero-sum game, right? You think that you're going to get every single Catholic to sort of fall for your tricks?
I do not need to get every single Catholic to fall for my tricks. All I need to do is to blind the masses from the truth of the Catholic Church. As long as I can blind the masses to the truth of the Catholic Church, the mission of the Nazarene will fail, and I will be the glorious victor.
I think you probably, Satan, I hate to tell you this, and I'm not a professional psychologist or anything, but I think, you know what I think your major problem is, and it got you into all this trouble anyway. I mean, do you think you really enjoy being in hell? And I do have a question there as well, since I've got you on the line. What's hell like? Is it more like Dante's hell, where it's so cold you can't move, or is it a never-ending fire like in John Milton?
No, hell's not that bad. Go ahead and live whatever kind of life you want. Indulge. Live your life. Be happy. Hell's not that bad.
There you go. With your just follow me into hell and it won't be that bad. So, and you really think that a lot of that probably in this day and age, I think that you have a little bit of a there's like with any lie, but like with any good lie, there's just a little bit of truth to it. People, you have convinced a lot of people that you might as well, all that there is in life, and you've done this through various ways too, through modern science that turned into scientism, which sort of reduced everything in this world to materialism. So all that's in life is material goods. So be comfortable, have fun, do what you want, and then go to hell, basically. But what you don't realize is, yeah, I think you underestimate, well, you've obviously underestimate God. I mean, you've already made that mistake once, and your ego is preventing you from seeing it, and you're making the same mistake again and again and again. You can't defeat God. Do you understand that? That is impossible for you to defeat God. Do you get that?
I will not try.
Come again?
I will not try.
Well, let me appeal to your ego for a minute. So there's been a number of pretty good fictional accounts of the Antichrist. And some would suggest that the coming must be pretty, you never know when it's going to come, right? But as Jesus says, you don't know what hour it's going to come. Just be ready at any time. But it looks pretty bad sometimes, and it's looked pretty bad in the past a lot of times too. But what fictional account, and I'm thinking of Robert Q. Benson, The Lord of the World. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, or Joseph Roth's The Antichrist. Are any of these sort of fictional accounts, do they do you justice? Are you flattered that people would give you that much sort of ink?
I rule by fear. I rule by fear. And I rule by lust, and I rule by greed. I rule by the dark things in the human being. And each of you have them. You try to pretend you don't. You try to pretend you don't have pride. You try to pretend you don't have greed. You try to pretend you don't have lust. I study you. I have nothing else to do. I study you. I probe you. I will find your weakness, and I will exploit it.
Well, I think, again, you're misreading a large portion of the people that have faith in God. True faith, they know that they're sinners, right? We know that we can fall prey to greed, to lust, to any of the sins, but we try not to. But we're not all on our own out here. Do you realize how dangerous it is for you to come on a show like this? Because anybody that's listening out there realizes one thing, that you're bound to lose. You can't win. And all people have to do, they can't beat you by themselves. I could never beat you by myself. I'll give you that much. You're more powerful. You're more than I could handle alone. But I have a secret weapon, and it's not even a secret weapon. I'm a Catholic. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord. I have Saint Michael. I have Mary, the Mother of God. Mary, the Mother of God, who will defeat you. And as long as I call on that, and I have and my faith remains strong, you're not really that much of a threat. I mean, I have to be on guard. We all have to be on guard. But free will, God created us with free will as he created you with free will. You chose, you freely chose to rebel against God. We can freely choose to worship God. And if we do that, you have no hold on us. Doesn't that give you pause? Maybe you've made a mistake coming on Catholicism Rocks?
No, sir. No, sir, I haven't made a mistake because everything that you say is true, and that's why you must be silent. This is why you must be silent. Because people hear what you say, and you are a threat to my message. You are a threat to my cloak of secrecy. I cannot let the word get out.
Well, I think that you may have made a strategic mistake because I think your ego may be getting away again, because you do see that the fabric of Western civilization, the moral fabric, seems to be disintegrating. But it's been that we've been here before and we'll be here again. But at the end of the day, if the faith is held, and so you come on a radio show like this and you say, you must be silenced and you must be silenced, it's doing the exact opposite. It's not silencing us. It's making us speak more loudly. Can the devil ever admit when he makes a mistake?
Do you even understand what eternity is? Do you even understand that at the moment of your death, your free will is gone, and the choice you've made is sealed for eternity? Do you even understand that the damned in hell cannot change their mind? They are not able to repent. Repentance comes from God. Contrition comes from God. The souls of the damned can't repent. They can't turn from their sin, even if they want to. Do you not understand this?
I understand this, that may what you say is not necessarily true, for one thing, that there is no more free will at death. I don't know where you're getting that, but I can suggest this: if you've made your choice when you're alive, then you don't have a problem, right? And I think you're also forgetting this. This is sort of a very, you only like to tell the part of the story that suits you. Jesus was crucified, died, went into hell, and then rose again on the third day. Death has no hold over Christ. He can go into hell and do whatever he wants. You just don't, not even hell. You don't even rule in hell. I remember the famous John Milton line of better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven, where you, at the end of the day, you don't even really rule in hell. Don't you get it?
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I want you silenced.
You want us silenced, but again, let me ask you this question. Why are you so afraid of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you want us to be silent about him?
It is not something that you can understand. I was the most glorious angel in heaven. Do you understand that? Do you understand that I was the most glorious angel in heaven?
I understand that you blew it because you're not anymore.
We in hell are filled with rage towards God. All we want is to hurt God. And since we cannot hurt God directly, we hurt him through his creation. Don't you remember what the Nazarene said? Whatsoever you do to the least of these little ones, you do unto me. Do you remember that he said that?
Yes, so you running around and
That's why we target the little ones. Because the harm that we bring to the little ones, we bring to him. Do you not understand this?
And shame on you, and you'll have to answer for that as well. But do you also remember the Nazarene said, "He who shall hurt one hair on this little child's head should have a millstone cast about him." Basically, should have never been born. So all of this that leads to your ultimate defeat, you just want to do as much damage as possible before that defeat befalls you and you exist no more. Is that what I'm hearing from you? That sounds like it's crazy.
I will not admit defeat.
Why not?
Defeat. I will not admit defeat.
Do you think that God would have mercy on you if you asked, if you truly repented, or are you capable of true repentance? And if you were, wouldn't you try it at least? Because what you've got coming is nothing pretty. There's nothing good about it. It's just hatred. Hatred that eats you up like poison, like you're completely rattlesnake bit over and over and over for what you call eternity. That's what you want?
Human beings cannot understand hell. If human beings could understand hell, they would never sin. Human beings cannot understand what it means to be locked in your evil, to locked in your hatred, locked in your vengeance forever.
Well, then ask for repentance.
Drinking hatred like water for eternity, you cannot repent. You do not understand this. A soul in hell cannot repent. Contrition comes from God. God withdraws his contrition from the souls of the damned. They cannot repent.
Well, I think that you're here. You go changing your story again. I asked you earlier what hell was like, and you said, "Oh, it's not so bad. It's you kind of just do what you want and blah blah blah." But now you're saying you've said two things about it. There's no free will there, so you can't just do what you want. And if humans understood what it was like, none of them would ever sin. So which is it? Is it not so bad, or is it the worst place you could possibly conceive of?
I do not like how you untie my arguments.
Well, I'm just trying. I told you, the Catholic Church, I'll repeat it, we're the church of faith and reason. So if you're going to try to convince us of something, and this is one reason why you do gain some ground here and there, because reason seems to be going out of style these days. Instead, it's been being placed with emotional arguments and political nonsense. But if you can't even stick to a reasonable argument, then I don't see how you can ever really. You keep speaking of harming people. You keep speaking of harming people.
What can I offer you to cease your mission? What can I offer you?
What can you offer me?
I can make you famous. I can give you your heart's desire. What is it you want? Just say it and it will be yours.
Excuse me, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness on this, but I'd have to say, piss off, Satan. I don't want anything from you at all, ever, nothing. I want nothing from you whatsoever. We will not shut up, you will be silenced at the end of the day. We at Catholicism Rocks will not shut up. The Four Persons radio spot will not shut up. In fact, you're just making us louder and louder. The worse it gets, the louder we get. We are not going to be able to steamroll us or make us feel so afraid or so bad. Have you forgotten about all of the saints that went, you know, willingly were martyred? Horrible deaths. Some of them so terrible, it's almost unspeakable. Right now I'm thinking of a recent film I just saw, Silence. It was based on a novel. I read the novel. It was really good. It was about the Japanese martyrs. And they went through horrible torture, and they weren't afraid of you. They wouldn't stop speaking out about Christ. They went, no matter what you did to them, they won't stop. Don't you realize that's going to be the way it always is? You just can't win, Satan. You can make some people miserable. You can do some damage. But at the end of the day, you lose. So I think that what you should do, you really should consider this if you are a reasonable being, which I sincerely doubt, you should sincerely consider repenting. I don't know if that what would happen if you did, but God is very merciful. And have you ever tried just saying, look, what you did was not reasonable. You wanted to be God. And that's what you're running around this world telling everybody that they can be God. Modern philosophy is sort of.
Did you read in your good book what the Nazarene says when he said, you did not call me, I called you? Did you read what he said? Do you think a soul can repent of its own efforts? Do you think that's possible?
A soul can repent of its own efforts?
Do you believe that a soul can repent by its own efforts?
I think that the grace of God is necessary in the mixture somewhere, but that first comes with the person.
A soul in hell is deprived of grace. In hell receives no grace. A soul in hell cannot repent. No matter how long I endure these flames, I cannot repent.
I think that that's another lie, another of your lies, because I think, did you not hear just what I just said? Jesus Christ was crucified for us. It was a horrible death, a terrible death. He died on the cross for our sins, died, dead, and he went into hell. He went into hell, and he rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, are you telling me that God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, cannot overcome death and sin of any kind, that cannot have grace, but you are given free will too, and you have the free will to repent, and so does any soul, I would think. I'm not an expert on the subject.
You need to read your own catechism, sir. The soul that is in hell cannot repent. It is deprived of grace. It is frozen in its final impenitence. It has committed the unpardonable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit by its final stubborn refusal to repent. Its refusal to repent that it takes to its grave is its final answer for eternity.
So what's your game plan? In my reading of the Bible, or the Catholic reading of the Bible, so maybe you should read the Catechism a little closer instead of just cherry picking here and there. Is God omnipotent or not? That's a yes or no question.
You need to understand that God's omnipotence is perfect. And God's mercy is perfect, but God's justice is also perfect, and God's mercy must be reconciled with God's justice. God cannot forgive a sinner who refuses to repent.
Well, wait a minute, Satan. Now you're putting words in my mouth. You just said a sinner that refuses to repent, correct? There's the free will thing again. That's not what I was saying at all.
A sinner who refuses to repent during his lifetime, at the moment of death, is sealed forever in that decision. He is sealed forever in that decision. Just as a person who gives his life completely to Christ, who lives completely for Christ, who loves Christ with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, that sinner, that person, is sealed in his acceptance of Christ for eternity at the moment of his death.
What about purgatory?
Purgatory fills us with rage, because through purgatory, many sinners who would be ours are escaped. They escape through purgation and eventually rise up to heaven. They escape from our grasp through the mercy of purgatory. Because God extends mercy to anyone who will accept it.
Well, there you go. God extends mercy to anyone who will accept it.
But the souls in hell cannot accept it.
Would you accept it?
I will not serve.
You will not accept it, so you will not serve. But by making a suggestion like that, you contradicted your argument again, because you just said, I will not accept it. And you did not say it's not possible. But you're beating a dead horse here. So what your game is to make as many people, do you think most of the people that are in sin today are even really aware of it? Do you think they're purposely and, consciously sinning against the Holy Spirit? Or are they just lost their way? Do you think the vast majority of people are consciously rejecting the Holy Spirit, knowing that they're doing it?
A soul that claims that it does not know God is a soul lying to itself. A person who commits grievous sins and claims they know not of God, they know not of the penalty of their sin, they will not get mercy on the day of judgment. They will not be able to plead innocent. They will not be able to plead ignorance. The soul knows at its core the basic of the natural law, the basic of the moral law. The soul knows it is wrong to murder. The soul knows it is wrong to commit these crimes that I have lured human beings into committing. Look at the hatred among your human beings. Look at the coldness and the callousness and the mercilessness of human beings. And you say I'm losing? You say I'm not winning?
I'm saying, like I said before, you lose in the end. That's sort of a moot point at this point. But I'm more interested in the point you're attempting to establish, that if you can get somebody to sin and not repent right away, you're mixing up your terms again. So you're the soul knows. Maybe at some deep level the soul might know, but the soul is not equivalent or shouldn't be conflated with the intellect. Like Thomas Aquinas, who you probably really despise, proved beyond any reasonable doubt that the intellect alone can know that there's a God. So it's not easy. It's not an easy thing for the intellect to do on itself. It's probably easier just to have faith, but it can be proven on that level. But for somebody to sin, say a young person goes out and does something stupid. We don't need to go into the details of it, But it's what most people would consider a sin. But this person's been brought up in a school system and it's a secular society to go, well, no, it's not, because there's not really any God. That's what we were taught. That you can't try to tell me that their soul knows that there's a God when the whole society has been conspiring against them to convince them the lie that there's not. So you are responsible for that as well. The lie of secularism, the lie of modernism, that man is the measure of all things. That's what we teach our children through media, through television, even through public schools now, that they are the measure of all things. All there is the material world, and they get to measure it. We teach at a secular level that for all intents and purposes that man is God. And that's exactly what you were trying to do. And you somehow think that you're going to, if these people that you lied to are responsible for believing your lie. At some level they might be, but what if there a lot of people just go with the flow? They've never been exposed to the truth of the Catholic Church. And that's why Catholicism rocks, the four persons, and all these people will not be quiet, because we will expose more and more and more people to the Catholic Church. And as it gets darker, as the secular world gets darker, watch, we're going to speak louder and our light will shine brighter. And you also know this, if you are who you say you are, there's nothing you can do to stop it.
I will continue to attack you and your family and everyone you love and everyone who is important to you. I will attack you and attack you and attack you until you stop.
Well, but you know it's not going to work. And maybe that's your problem, Satan, is you're not of faith and reason. You're only of ego and self-love. But that's some sort of emotional thing, because as you've made clear during this conversation, you just won't accept the fact that in the end of the day, you lose. Jesus returns and you lose. You do understand that, right?
You haven't heard the last from me.
You're going to keep coming. I know it. You're going to try to get as many people, because it's looking pretty bad for you. Actually, you think it's looking good for you, but it's looking bad for you, because there's more and more of these sites, these radio shows, these good Catholic sites, good traditional Catholic sites that are, you know, level-headed and reasonable, that are popping up out there, and more people are hearing the truth, not the lies that you spread. The lies that you spread through your secular society, where you actually were somewhat triumphant in making everybody, people believe that you didn't exist. There was no God, and there was no Satan, and there was no heaven and hell. All there is humans, and they're going to make a heaven on earth. So you made some inroads there, but as that spreads, people, I'll give you this, in their souls, that's not going to be enough. Humans long for God. They don't long for you. They long for God. And once they hear the truth that is the Catholic Church, they will get hope. And once they have hope, they will get strength. And once they get strength, they will no longer believe your lies. You still there?
Hello, Jack, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the show. What happened? I missed your guest.
Well, I wish you would have got in there earlier for good. I don't know, some prank caller that claimed they were Satan, or if it was Satan himself, or what it was. Crazy stuff.
What?
You heard me. I got this phone call. I wasn't on air for 3 minutes, 2 minutes or something.
No, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear any of it. I don't know what you're talking about. I just called in. I saw you had a show tonight. I just called in to find out how it went. So you said you interviewed a crank caller?
I don't know. It was a crank caller, I assume, but it was also the crank caller was pretty determined to play their part. And so you never know on these phone calls, but I assume that it was a prank call. That's my sort of rational part of it, but I can't tell you for sure. What I can tell you is I just had some sort of weird conversation with an entity claiming to be Satan. If you can believe that.
All right. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the archive because I got to be honest with you, Jack. You're sounding crazy right now. You're starting to worry me. I don't know what you're trying to say to me here. You're not even making any sense.
Well, before you write me off as a basket case, because I felt like that a little bit too, I decided to sort of just entertain the caller, okay? For whatever reason, it caught me by surprise, and I thought I'd go with it. But it just kept going and going. So before you write me off, go listen to the archive and tell me what you think, because we've got to start screening the calls or something. I don't really wouldn't want to do that every week or anything.
Yeah. So I mean, how did he get on? Did he call in or was he, what happened?
I just saw a brief call-in number, it looked like a setup at first. It was like the area code 666 and all this stuff. So I thought it was a setup. I thought it was, it might be fun to play along with it, but I don't know what happened there. It wasn't pleasant on my part. But on the other hand, whatever happened just there, if you thought for a moment that it really was, and I know that sounds crazy, Satan's not very good at logic. I guess the Prince of Lies wouldn't be real good at logic because they always have to step on their own tail sooner or later. But whatever the case is, that was sort of a wild ride. What it really wasn't prepared for, so I don't know really what to say about it. But I know it sounds crazy. Go listen to the archive, though.
Yeah, I gotta admit it's. I mean, I don't even know what to make of what you're saying here. This just sounds so off the chart here. What's going on with Catholicism Rocks right now? What are you guys into?
Well, we're expanding steadily, and most of us work the old day job and stuff, but we've got a pretty good crew. We just got a social media guy that's going to help post some of the podcasts and things like that, and I think he'll probably help me post this show on that website as well. And the crew's getting, but we've got a fairly solid crew. We're all in different time zones, so it's taken a little bit of time to get off the ground just because of logistics, but it really is going forward, and we're getting more and more followers on Facebook and things like that. There's a big following on Facebook, and we got that weird conversation I just had. This guy would say, he'll never stop, and he had to come on because he needs to silence us.
But did he give you contact information as to how to contact him or whatever? A number that you could like report to the authorities or something? Or what? I mean,
no, it's just the call ended suddenly, and all of a sudden the show was over. So I don't know. It was weird. But one thing I would say, whatever the weirdness that was, one big thing did come through of it. Sites like this, radio programs like this, and the whole four persons endeavor and endeavors like it that kind of stay on the straight and narrow, were spreading the word, the truth. And it did put me in mind, if nothing else, talking to this thing that you really have to do believe Satan is the Prince of Lies. And we have to spread the truth because too many people believe the lies nowadays. I mean, you watch the news and everything, and it's just mind-blowing how many – I mean, I can't even believe – it's like we live in some – I'm not that old, I'm still alive and ticking. So when I was a kid, I live in a completely different world. It makes no sense,
Yeah, we live in a country I don't recognize anymore. But Jack, it's easy to get depressed. It is. It's easy to get despondent and feel like it's hopeless and all that, but it's never hopeless when we serve the God that we serve. It's never hopeless.
I think that's important because I think you're right. It's really easy to get depressed when all of the nonsense you hear about men having babies and people actually buying into that, or a Supreme Court justice saying, no, I can't tell you what a woman is. And I mean, some of the stuff that just blows your mind, if you're isolated at all or you're just around secular humans, you could get pretty depressed, yeah. But that you don't need to. Faith gives hope, and faith is what you need to carry on. So we need kind of stick together.
Ask you this. Do you have any sense this lunatic is going to call back in? I mean, what do you think?
I don't know, but if he does call back in, I'm not sure how to handle it. So I'll talk to about I don't want to give him too much airtime spreading this nonsense, but I think that I did a pretty good job of showing him. I mean, it's not really me doing it. It's just the Bible doing it, that Satan loses at the end of the day. There's no way around it. You can't get around that. And I think that was the caller was not happy with that.
But right. I understand that.
What would you do if he called back? What would you do in that situation?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've caught me really off guard on this. I don't know how to react to this. I guess I'm going to have to go back and listen to what you actually encountered here. I don't even know how to respond. You know, I'm calling in to see how your show went and understand you had an interview and, you're hitting me with all this stuff that I don't know how to respond to. So you're going to have to give me time to kind of digest this and figure out what's going on here.
Hey, do you think you might want to come on Wednesday and after you listen to that and discuss it a little bit?
Yeah, let me listen to it and see if it's an issue we need to contact Blog Talk Radio about at this point. Let me listen and see what we got.
Okay. Hopefully you won't think that I'm just have gone off the deep end or anything, but it was strange, I can tell you that.
Yeah. I understand that Jerry Mallorca is helping you with your videos on Catholicism Rocks too, right?
I think so. We had a meeting scheduled last week, and somehow I didn't get the link, so I'm one step out of the loop. But I think I'm going to set up a meeting just with Sean and Kathleen this week sometime and try to get caught up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you guys got a fabulous, fabulous website. I wish, my job is so demanding right now. I wish I had more time to do all the things that I want to do as far as, Catholic apologetics and everything. But my hat's off to you. You guys are doing an incredible job over there at Catholicism Rocks. Keep up the good work. I mean, you guys are just doing great over there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And, know this too. I know we're all busy, but keep carving out as much time as you can to help spread the word, because the world needs it.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening at all, though, it helps. Okay. And so you do a great job too. And just keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Jack. Hey, Jack, would you, we're up against it. Would you close us with a prayer, please?
Yes, I would. I'm just going to, after that weird conversation, I think I'm just going to say a Hail Mary.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. You have a great week. And we'll be back Wednesday, right? That's what we agreed on, Wednesday, 7 p.m. next week, right?
That's it. You got it.
All right. God bless you. Have a great week, sir.
God bless you. You too.